Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules. Rule number one, no touching of the hair or face.
Of course. Go.
And that's it. Go. Now, let's do this.
Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
Put my mic on!
And what's up, everybody? What's going on? Happy Wednesday. Happy hump day. We are here for another edition of Destruction 101, Episode 4. I am your host, Dave Destruction, your only host, Dave Sturcio. I've talked to a couple of my friends about this, and I was like, I think I have to start really going by my real name now. I'm a broadcaster. I'm a commentary guy. The Dave Destruction thing works in professional wrestling, but if I ever get brought in to like another sporting outlet and they're like, you know, I can't be like, hey, what's up, Dave Destruction? You might know me from such thing as, you know, like I can't do that. So I'm going to have to kind of shift gears, I guess, and be more myself. But at the same time, Dave Destruction is the reason why I'm doing this. So first and foremost, thank you. Thank you for everybody who's subscribed, liked on Facebook, which we call gave ratings. I looked last night. I got 7 5-star ratings on iTunes, which is friggin' awesome. So if you guys can keep that up, I don't care if you have to disguise yourself as somebody else and you already left a review, leave another one. I don't care. It doesn't matter. The more 5-star reviews I get, the better, obviously, for obvious reasons, but for searching. When people are searching for podcasts, you know, they go by highest rated, and you're going to see things like Colt Cabana and all those guys, and even Conversation with a Big Guy with Ryback and Pat Buck, and it's funny because I actually looked at their reviews, and I'm like, whoa, Jesus Christ, I got a long way to go to get those numbers up. But for the people that have reviewed and have gave it 5 stars and left some seriously awesome reviews, thank you. I cannot thank you guys enough. You guys are all awesome. You know, people are asking me, how do I leave a review? Well, to be honest with you, I'm not that savvy with iTunes. I just know it's possible. So it took me like a week and a half, 2 weeks to even find the reviews of my own page, of my own product. So I don't have the numbers for last week. Tony slacked off this morning and he didn't give them to me when I asked him. So I don't know what that's all about, but I'm sure I'll post tonight, which is Tuesday, about the upcoming show. A new format could be coming soon. There's a lot of things I want to kind of mess around with. One being having guest hosts on the show. It was something that I definitely enjoyed, the conversation I used to have with a lot of my former guests on my previous podcast, Thursday Night Destruction. You can actually see and hear all of those interviews on the Shining Wizards Network. That's who I'm brought to by. That's who's promoting me, or lack thereof. They took my 30-second commercial, which is cool. But I need those guys to really get behind me. This show actually is exclusively also brought to you by Jay Silva Snaps, which is my friend Jamie Silva, who you can find on Facebook and find on Snapchat for all your recipes and your cooking information and all sorts of cooking advice and real funny wrestling related stuff. And then sometimes you'll get a sprinkle or two of his kid. So go follow him on Snapchat. Follow me on Snapchat. I'm actually more into Snapchat than I've ever been. I think it's a really cool outlet to get a couple videos out there, get a couple photos out there, kind of give you a backstage look of where I'm at, when I'm at. I did a couple things at the Battle Club Show Pro, Battle Club Pro Show. What the motherfuck? I don't know what happened there. But yeah, so I was live, whatever you're calling, snapping as things were happening. So there's a lot of cool stuff. I was thinking about doing it this week, but I'll announce it for next week. For episode 5, that's actually kind of convenient, I'm going to do a Facebook Live for 5. And what I'm going to do is when I'm recording this, I know it's always in the afternoons on Tuesdays, and most of you guys work, hopefully, and you guys are busy. But if in the event you are on Facebook around the time I record, what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually start recording. My pretty little mug is going to be on the Facebook Live video. And if you have any questions, you can shoot them right there. And I'll literally say who it's from and and just read off answers just for 5 minutes. 5 minutes of my show. So that's all the good that's happening right now. I'm totally excited about all the future. And the guys that talk to me on the regular are just fantastic people. And they're always telling me how awesome this is and how uplifting I am. And it's great. And I'm really excited about all that. But unfortunately, topics that come up on podcasts, they kind of sometimes write themselves. And what I'm about to do is something that I kind of went back and forth on. But in professional wrestling, you need to be as professional as possible. And this, you know what? This goes beyond professional wrestling. This goes into any profession that you do. There's no room, zero room for any hate, disrespect, or just overall evil towards people of different either race, ethnicity, or sexual orientation. And something I found out last week, it disturbed me. Kind of struck a nerve. I should get into why it struck a nerve. Right before I got into wrestling, I had a best friend. And if anybody knows me, they know the story. I grew up with this kid my whole life, played sports, did the backyard wrestling, swimming, literal vacations, Disney World, Baltimore, just you name it. I went there with him. I was part of the family. He was my best friend. He was my brother. He tragically passed away in 2007. But from 2006 to 2007 was a very awkward year for me because it was a random summer night where I was, you know, going over to his house to pick him up, his sister, his niece, and, you know, go out for the movies. We're all about to go to the movies. And, you know, his sister answers the front door, and she's like, Dave, you know, there's an issue. There's a family. She labeled it a family crisis. So I was just about to leave. I was like, all right, hey, listen, we'll do it another time. But she's like, listen, now he specifically requested that you go talk to him. And I'm like, all right, as I said, we're brothers. Like, what could possibly go, you know, what's wrong? I'll figure this out right now. And I walked into his room, and there was another gentleman sitting on the edge of his bed. And my friend was sitting next to him. And I just, you know, kind of looked. I was like, what's this all about? I was like, bro, what's wrong? You know, your sister said that something's going on. And he's like, listen, I've been hiding this for a long time. I can't do it anymore. I'm gay. And this is my boyfriend, blah, blah, blah. I like the name. And it shook me because personally, I'm like, fuck, man. I just slept over the kid's house like a week ago. Like, oh, this is gross. You know, that was my first knee-jerk reaction. Like, oh, my God. But then I saw the pain in this kid's eyes and how much of a relief it was to tell me. And I commended him for it. I said, instead of taking the high road, like, oh, my God, this guy just disgusting. No, I supported him, and I said, whatever you want to do, man, you do. Whatever makes you happy, do it, you know? And I, as a joke, I said, just don't hit on me, you know, as a joke. And we laughed. I shook the other guy's hand, and that was it. And then, like, for that next year, it was hard, you know, it was harder to hang out with him because things have changed. Times were changing. But when I did see him, we never missed a beat, man. We never missed a beat. I don't give a shit what he's into, who he likes. You know, it didn't matter to me. And that's when I, like, you know, and I'll be the first one to admit, there's plenty of times that I've dropped the F-bomb. You know, and I'm not talking about fuck. You know, I'm talking about the really hurtful F-bomb to the gay community. I've done it. We've all done it. And just as of late, you know, within the last couple years of my life, I've tried to grow up a little bit. And that word I've really tried to eliminate from my vocabulary. Even, and this is something that Jim Brewer taught me. If you don't know who Jim Brewer is, he's a comedian. He said, when you say that word, when we said that word as kids, it wasn't knocking the sexual orientation. It was knocking you because you missed the ball in kickball, and that's what made you that. So it was always used out of context. So I never used it deliberately, calling another gay man a very derogatory term. It was just that never even got to my mind and never even came up, because I've come across a lot of gay individuals, bisexual individuals. I've come across them all, especially in pro wrestling. They are around. Some of them, hey, listen, when you tell somebody that you're not interested, if they back off, then that's the respectful thing to do. If they keep pursuing and keep sending you pictures or whatever they're trying to do to get their point across, then that's when I draw the line and say, listen, I don't go that way, you know, or because pro wrestling is very heavy. I mean, look at what we're doing for a living. We got, you know, half naked dudes like fake fighting. I know, I broke the fucking barrier right there. Like, oh, you got to be kidding me. What's next, Santa? All right, but like that's the truth. There are out there, and one of them who I've met and I've had the pleasure of watching, and who is a sweetheart, like, is a good dude. And I just listened to him on the Shining Wizards wrestling podcast. His whole story is he goes by Sunny Kiss, and he's obviously, I mean, he's gay. He's a gay individual, and I have nothing against it. I think what he does is pretty friggin' unique, if you ask me. He doesn't have to hide anything. And that's probably one of the better feelings for these people. What do you mean, these people? I mean, like, if you're gay, it's probably the hardest thing in the world to come out and say something about it. It's probably brutal thinking that you're going to hear the worst and you're going to hear the backlash of all the this evil, rotten people that are out there. Look at Anthony Bowens, one of my best friends in wrestling. As far as like when I see him, we never miss a beat. He's always funny. We always have laughs. We always talk about NXT, WWE, his future with WrestlePro, like every single thing you could possibly talk about in professional wrestling. And then on top of that, he's a huge baseball fan. We always talk sports. We always talk shop. He and I both, and he currently still works for MLB, I think. I mean, he hasn't told me he left, but you know, he's got a busier wrestling schedule. Just a couple weeks ago, he said, you know what? The hell with it. I'm done. Here, everybody, this is my boyfriend. I'm bisexual. And if you couldn't accept that, then there's the door, man. There's the door. Because there ain't nobody that works harder, looks better, and moves better in the ring than Anthony Bowens. So bravo to him. And bravo to Sonny Kiss for pursuing this different dream. Rather than just go to a 9-to-5, he kept going. He kept pursuing. So what I'm about to do, and as I said, I went back and forth with this, but what I'm about to do is, it's a little lengthy. It's about 7 minutes. It might even be six. I think I timed it out. You're going to listen to a man just in the worst way brutalize Sonny Kiss, not for wrestling, but for his quote, gimmick. It's borderline disturbing. The man's name is Adam Lavelli. That's his wrestler name. He works for a couple companies in the Pennsylvania area. He's the color commentator. He also thinks he has a respectable and podcast or whatever he was doing when he sits in front of a bed sheet behind him that shows wrestling done right. Well, bro, wrestling done wrong, my friend. Wrestling done wrong. And his shoot name is Adam Patrick. So if you want to look him up, go look him up. You tell me how you feel about this guy after this clip. So I'll be back to critique everything right after he's done.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's that time of the night to hear all about wrestling done right on I Have Till Five with your host, Adam Lavelle.
This episode is going to concentrate on Sonny Kiss. Now, for those of you that don't know, there was some controversy involving me and Mr. Kiss about a year ago or so. I don't want to go into it too detailed because there's really no sense putting too much of the information out there and getting a hornet's nest stirred up again. So I'll just touch on a little bit. Okay, there's a certain professional wrestler out there who will go nameless to me because he doesn't deserve to be mentioned, but Some of you would be shocked if you knew who it was. He's fairly well known, but far from famous, who had a problem with me because I don't like Sonny Kiss. I don't like him as, I don't like his gimmick. I don't like his gear. I don't like his shtick, if you will. And I said shtick for those of you that are dirty-minded, foul-minded. Don't like it. I don't enjoy it. It's unrealistic. The fact that he's going to come in there and wrestle the way he does and look the way he does is ridiculous to me. I mentioned this on the last show somewhat when I talked about believability. Sonny Kiss is not believable to me. To have someone like that in the ring and putting him over in a big way, which most companies he works for does just that, is not believable. It's way out in la-la fantasy land for me. Okay, if you've not seen Sonny Kiss, check out the match. I'll post it in the comments after the show if you've not seen it, but it's already here on the Wrestling Done Right page. Just scroll down a little bit. It's the Future of Honor match from, yes, Ring of Honor, between Mike Orlando and Sonny Kiss. Okay, Sonny Kiss is not believable to me. He's just as bad, if not, he's worse than Cheeseburger. Cheeseburger, who, again, I said last night, is a great guy that everybody loves as a person. I don't know him personally, but I'm sure I would think he's as great as everyone else does. But his look is not believable. His name is not believable. Nothing about Cheeseburger in the ring is believable. It just isn't. And that doesn't mean I hate the boy. It just means he's not believable. Even in the make-believe fantasy land of professional wrestling, it exposes the business too much. And yes, I know I sound like Jim Cornette now. Well, you're just going to have to forgive me for that. That's the truth. It exposes the business too damn much. And Sonny Kiss is worse because he isn't much bigger than Cheeseburger. And he wrestles, he not only looks like a woman, which is his gimmick, he wants to look like a woman. He has ran angles in other companies where a wrestler believed he was a woman. Yeah, that's right. There's a wrestling company out there where they were running an angle, a storyline, where one of the male wrestlers believed Sonny Kiss was a woman. Okay, so I'm not insulting him or being a misogynist or being a homophobe when I tell you that Sonny Kiss's thing is to look and act as feminine as possible. Now, I know a lot of people are saying, Adam, we've always had gay wrestlers. Again, we covered some of that last night. A guy I like and respect, Adrian Bliss, Artemis Walls, has played a homosexual wrestler for quite a few years, Adrian Bliss. But Adrian still looks like somebody who could, you know, do some damage. You know, he does a little fancy prancy thing here or there at appropriate times to get some laughs. Okay, his whole, Adrian Bliss's entire ring work isn't based around wrestling like a woman. It isn't based around being soft, delicate, feminine. Like, and I'm sorry, that's what Sonny Kiss's gimmick is. Watch that match, guys. Watch the match. Even if you're like me and don't like Sonny Kiss's thing, watch the match and see what it is. I mean, the camera pans up him like you're like he's Mandy Leon or something, and here it's this skinny black man that's just acting like a woman, looking like a woman, dressing like a woman, and wrestling like a woman. Okay? Here was my big concern. I had never watched a full Sonny Kiss match before. I couldn't make myself do it. I don't find it entertaining. I don't find it good. I don't find it funny. Sonny Kiss doesn't, what he does is not played up to be funny. He's a serious wrestler that's just a feminine, ridiculous, tiptoe through the tulips kind of thing. And to me, it mocks the sport that I have loved since I was 8 years old. Next year will be 40 years that I have loved and been involved. Not only been involved for 40 years, but I have been involved or been a huge fan of professional wrestling 39 years. And I've seen it all. I've seen the Adrian Streets. I've seen the Adrian Blisses. I've seen the Adrian at Adonis. What the hell is it with Adrian? Anyway, I've seen all of them. But all of those wrestlers wrestled like men. They didn't fight like a little prancy sissy. I'm trying to find soft words to use here, guys, so I don't offend somebody's delicate sensibilities. Now, here was my big fear. When I watched an entire Sonny Kiss match, which was the first one I've ever watched a whole match of, okay, my fear was he was going to be great. Sonny Kiss was going to be a great professional wrestler. Well, that fear is relieved because he's not. I'm sorry. I know for a fact that he and Mike Orlando have wrestled numerous times, that they're pretty good friends, that they have trained together, worked out together, and faced each other and tag team together numerous times. So it wasn't like you were looking at two green guys who had never worked together or with each other before in that matchup. They know each other extremely well. Okay, they both pretty much have admitted so on each of their Facebook pages. And I know if Mike Orlando hears or sees or finds out about this, he's going to be pissed off at me. Sorry. Mike Orlando's great. Everything about him looks good and about him. And he performed well in that match. Guys, Sonny Kiss did not. If you can watch that match and forget about his fruity gimmick, okay, that is also real life, just to let you know, he's not acting. That's why he's so good at that gimmick. And what you see with Sonny Kiss is what you get in real life. And I'm not telling you, I'm not revealing a secret. That's basically on his Facebook page and social media as well. That's who he is. He is Sonny Kiss. That's what he's about. It doesn't come across well in a professional wrestling ring to me. It's silly. He wears a borderline thong. He twerks. He does all kinds of ridiculous things. Now, getting back to what I said, my fear was he was going to be a great professional wrestler, that I was going to have to come on camera and admit flat out that Sonny Kiss was damn good. But he's not. He's not. I watched that match, and it was a serious letdown, ability-wise. His strikes were weak. His kicks were weak. Every move that he did, every big move, like over through the ropes or whatever, was stalled. Orlando had to wait on him several times. There were two or three botches, no major botches, but clearly botches that were as plain as the nose on your face. Such botches that if I were Ring of Honor, I wouldn't have put that on my social media. The match was a stinker. Sonny Kiss did not come across looking good in that matchup. And anybody who says otherwise needs to get their ass to different wrestling shows so they can see what good professional wrestling is.
Thank you, Mr. Lavelli. Thank you, Mr. Patrick, whatever your last name is. I know that was a lot to listen to, but I needed you, and that wasn't it. Like, there's so much more. This thing goes on for 40 minutes, okay? That was like the bridge, like the start of it. I just want to go through some bullet points, something that maybe you guys didn't pick up on, just so you understand where I'm coming from and where I think he went wrong. Okay, first of all, Adam Patrick goes to say that he wrestles and looks the way he does. And then he goes, I don't get his shtick. And then said, I said shtick for all those dirty minded. So right away, I'm just like, okay, all right, you want to make a little joke? That's fine. He said putting Sonny Kiss over in a big way is not believable. And then he compared himself to Jim Cornette. Don't ever do that again, bro. Then he says he not only looks like a woman, he wants to be a woman. Okay. He says Sonny Kiss' thing is to look and act like a woman. He plays a gay wrestler. He wrestles like a woman, being soft, delicate, and feminine. He doesn't like Sonny Kiss's thing. Now, what exactly is his thing, Mr. Lavelli? What's his thing? That he's a professional wrestler? That he's a gay professional wrestler acting like himself? Last time I checked, there's nothing wrong with that. Let me go on. And then he goes on to say he's not entertained, which is fine. People have their opinions. It's whatever. He says that Sonny mocks the business that he's been around for 40 years. So now every gay individual in the business that acts like themselves are mocking professional wrestling. I'm not paraphrasing. You just heard it. He says that all the wrestlers, like the ones from the back in the day that were gay wrestlers that he knew, wrestled like men and didn't prance around like a sissy. My man, you're cruising right now. You're cruising. And like I said, I have a soft spot for this. I was a little upset with this. In fact, I was very upset with this. He goes on to say, puts over Mike Orlando, which I can agree with. Mike Orlando's great. He calls Sonny a fruity gimmick. Fruity gimmick. Now, keep in mind, this audio was deleted by Adam Lavelle. Adam Patrick. He deleted this, but I have a friend who ripped it and was able to give me a link, and this is the first time anybody's hearing any of this audio if you did not catch it when it was up and on his stupid Wrestling Done Right podcast. He's knocking him for wearing a borderline thong after the recording. This is, you know, if you really want proof, I got the whole video. But as I said, I didn't want to go on and on and on with this guy's opening his fat trap. Okay, he goes on to say, he says he comes on camera and admit that Sonny, he said, all right, he said this right before the recording ended. He said, I was afraid that I was going to watch a Sonny Kiss match and have to admit that he's a good wrestler. Why are you afraid of that? This is making you a homophobe, what you claimed not to be before. That's exactly what it's doing. You're basically singling yourself out here, buddy. Okay? He goes on to say it's complete and utter nonsense. And the big thing is, and this is where I will end this, is that he says, quote, "It makes my heart skip a little of what's coming in professional wrestling. Stop booking this nonsense and calling it variety. Stick to wrestling." All right. Adam Lavelle, Lavelli, Adam Patrick, wherever you are, I didn't have to do this. I chose to do this because I actually reached out to you first. I reached out to you first and left you a message to say, how dare you explain yourself? I gave him a chance and he never replied. He started blocking people left and right, kicking people out of his little stupid 400-person group, and he just hit the high road. Well, now, Mr. Lavelli, I hope that this is exposing you. I hope that all the companies you work for fire you, and I hope you never get another job in the broadcasting business, ever. You don't deserve it. You're evil. Your opinions on the gay community are not welcomed in a professional sport or professional wrestling. And I would only hope that, listen, I know I'm big on self-promotion, and I know I tell you guys, please share, please share, please share. But if you're going to share anything or share any episode, it's this one. It's this one. I'm going to take a break because, not for nothing, I'm a little pissed. I'm going to give you a song. I'll come back, and when I do come back, we'll talk about Battle Club, we'll talk about all the cool stuff, we'll talk about some bad wrestling that's still going around, we'll put a stop to that eventually, we'll preview the Royal Rumble, we'll preview the Super Bowl, which is now set in stone, which I don't hate, I mean, we'll talk about it when I get back. Be right back, guys.
Kane is in the building.
Trying to fuck with Hollywood Cole. I'm with Marley G, bro. Flying Holly Grove chicks to my Hollywood shows. And I wanna tell you something that you probably should know. This that Slumdog Millionaire Bollywood flowing up. My real friends never hear it from me. Fake friends write the wrong.
Whoopsie, cut that off way too quick. I like Drake. I hated Drake at one point. I like him now. It's kind of hard, right? I mean, rap sucks all over. Like, all over. Come, give me DMX any day of the week. Old school Eminem any day of the week. Enough of this soft, just I'm wearing more chains than you, so that gives me more street cred and yada, yada, yada. Anyway, we're back. And I'm sorry about the beginning of this podcast, or the first half of this podcast. It had to be done. And I'm not going to sit around and tolerate people and how they do their certain things. So, to reiterate, I hope Mr. Lavelli, I wish him the best in his future endeavors. I hope it falls on the right ears, and people are just kind of disgraced that this is the kind of way that he thinks, and it got worse. So if you need to contact me for the full video to remove him from his place of work, please email me, Facebook me, all sorts of other social media outlets. It's not like I never promote the shit. Anyway, all right, well, the weekend, this past weekend, Battle Club Pro. Let me tell you something. If you were there, you saw a hell of a show. If you weren't, I really hope you go to the next one. Because I have a really good feeling, along with a couple of my colleagues, We have really good feeling that this company could be the next, like, underground, Evolve-like indie wrestling company. We really, truly believe that. And I think that it's just got that feel. You know, it's all blacked out. It's all just intimate. The fans are on top of you. Like, you could probably fit, like, 200 max in there. And it's loud and everything sounds great. The acoustics are amazing. It's just a cool, cool atmosphere. And we have a roster that we're building. You know, I'm very happy to be a part of it. We have a great, great commentary team. We're building chemistry month in and month out. When, you know, obviously this is only our second time, but I know our third time, me and Mr. Martinez, Money Martinez is what I'm billing him. All right. Joaquim Noah, right? That's what I do. I said, is it pronounced like, you know, the center forward for the Knicks? But Money Martinez will be the easier way to pronounce that. And he's money. He's great. He's just learning all this stuff. He truly comes to me for a lot of advice, and I will always give it to him free of charge. I'm not one of those guys who's just like, go to school, this, that, and the other. No, not a lot of people went through the roads that I went through as far as to get to where I am today. And obviously, it's nowhere yet, but I'm trying. This time, I'm giving it my all, and I'm not going to stop. So it's one of those things I'm really excited about. But yeah, we had an amazing show, top to bottom. Matches, I mean, unfortunately, I got involved in two of them, which I wound up taking a shot to the gut with a steel chair. Yes, my belly still hurts. No bullshit, I swear to God. Like, I don't, that's the thing. You people who have never stepped in foot, like, in the ring and never have done anything, like, I don't want to hear that, like, well, they just do this to soften it, and they just, they put their hand up, or they cover this, or they do that, or those tacks aren't real, or whatever you guys are thinking, you're all wrong. Because I took a chair shot to the gut, and even if Riley had pulled back just a little bit, that thing was going through me. Okay, so my belly hurts, and it's hurt for the last couple days. But it is what it is. It's part of the business. We had some in that match itself, Matt McIntosh and Rude Boy Riley. This was their second match of Battle Club, and they killed it again. Those guys are so gifted, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's one of those things where it's hard to call. Like, I'll look back at the commentary and see how we did, but it's hard to call because you find yourself in awe and you find yourself very invested into their match. Same thing goes for Dan Moff and Brute Van Slyke. Those boys killed each other. I'm talking, you got two guys that are 340 plus just beating the living shit out of each other. I'm talking the hardest hitting thing I've watched in a long time. Probably the hardest hitting thing since I've seen Ryback and Moff. You know, these big boys, man, that's my style. That's my style of wrestling. I'll never in my life be Mr. Flippy-Do high spots guy. I'm ground and pound, going to beat your face in until you can't go anymore kind of guy. And that's why I respect the heavyweights. And I respect the wind, man. Those guys went 15, 20 minutes, and it's like they didn't miss a beat. Moff has been in this fucking business for like 47 years. That's totally not true. It's more like 46. But no, Moff will tell you, he's been around, man. Moff is one of those guys that just, he's getting better as he gets older. I don't know how it works. I think he's more motivated. I think he's more hungry. I think he's more angry. That he maybe he feels slighted that he never got his shot. You know, and now he's taking it out on everybody because he's wrestled in Japan. He's done it all, man. Same thing with Van Slyke. Both of these guys are just phenomenal workers. You know, and then we saw, what was it, Alexander? Alexander versus where's the swerve guy? Strickland. And those guys lit it up. I'm pretty sure they're still flipping right now. If you ask them right now, they're probably still doing front flips. And there's a spot and a time for that. And it really is, because it excites the shit out of me. To see these guys as athletic as they are, it's insane. Because some of these things, some of these moves that they pull off, they're not looking. They just got the timing down so much that they can hit something with their eyes closed. No bullshit. Like, eyes are closed. It's insane. And then obviously there was many, many more matches in between. CPA was out there. Craven Varro and Chris Payne were out there in a gauntlet match. Oh, another thing. Maxwell Jacob Feinstein. Fuck, man. The kid's got it. And I'm thinking of him the same way I thought of Bowens when he first got in. He's got it. He's got that look in his eye. He's got the personality. He's amazing in the ring. look out for that kid, because he's got a personality, man, where, you know, his gimmick might be, I'm better than you and you know it, but it's the truth. And I've said that before on previous episodes, like, he's that good. And if he hears this, his head's going to explode. Yeah, I mean, that match itself was just fantastic. It was fantastic. We closed out the show with what's the belt name? Can't think of it now. I don't know. It's on the tip of my tongue. What culture? Is that what I'm thinking about? What Culture Pro? But that was Drew Galloway versus Anthony Bowens, and they killed each other. And this is the second show that Anthony Bowens has main evented. Rightfully so. He's the one that can go. He's the one that Carlos, the guy who talks to me about booking the show and stuff like that, like, he's the one that he knows he could rely on, because he's going to give it his all and bring it every time. Does that mean Bowens is going to be in every main event? No. But I'm just saying, like, he trusted him to carry that match. And well, he didn't carry it, but they both obviously equally kicked each other's asses. And on top of that, Drew Galloway had the idea to try to go viral in the UK, where that belt is defended. And we did just that. And I'm pretty sure, I mean, this, I wrote these notes down yesterday, but I'm pretty sure it's over 50,000 views on YouTube, on all of Drew's social media. They brawl to the back. I make a cameo. A couple other guys make a cameo in it. I mean, it's awesome. They really beat the hell out of each other. And in the end, Galloway came out on top. And what a match. What a match, man. It's just one of those things where it's just like, wow. You know? But segueing into from good and great wrestling, just to promote my boys over at WrestlePro. And we got February 10th at the Starland Ballroom, February 11th in Brooklyn, New York, March 11th in Rahway, and then March 29th, which I just booked my flight last night. We're in Orlando for WrestleCon. Now, I booked my flight with Spirit Airlines, and I got some backlash from that. Like, but then again, I talked to a couple of my teacher associates, and they said, no, you'll be fine. Everything will be fine. Then I talked to Jay Silva. He said everything's cool. And then I talked to Brian Myers, and I'm like, they fucking suck. And I'm like, great. And nobody travels more out of all of my people that I know than a guy that's on the WWE roster. And he's like, no, they charge you this. They charge you for a glass of water. And I'm like, oh, fuck. I just want to get there safely. That's really all I want to do. I don't care. Like, I was told that it's a smaller plane. Okay, who cares? Like, all right, so it's a 2.5-hour flight. I put on 3 of my podcasts if I want to re-listen to them, and then boom, I'm there, you know, or something to wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Those things are like 4.5 hours long each episode. Go download those. I've started to listen to them, and they're fantastic. So I booked my flight. We got a suite down there. Officer Payne booked a suite at the Hyatt. So we're at the hotel that WrestlePro is performing at. So it makes it very convenient if you want to go back up to the room to, I don't know, take a shit or shower or anything. I'm just being realistic. I'm a grown man. This is something that does come up every so often. But whatchamacallit? Yeah, so I mean, we're all going down there. A couple of the guys are going down there, flying in at different times. I'm going to go Wednesday night because obviously I have school and I don't get out till 2. So I'm going to jump on a 6:20 flight. So, yeah, 6:20 flight, get down there by like 9:30, probably to the hotel by 10, have a couple drinks, go to bed, and then boom, I'm ready to rock and roll on Thursday morning as WrestlePro is ready to kick the shit out of Orlando. WrestleCon's going to be great. Am I going to Mania? I don't know. I'm not sure yet. I'm sure there will be tickets floating around where either on the cheap or just last second things. Maybe we go. Maybe we don't. I don't know. But if we don't, you know, it's one of those things where I'm with a bigger group of guys where we can hit the local bar or hit the local party. I'm sure there's going to be millions of parties down there for WrestleMania. Or we can watch it on TV and just drink some beers. Whatever. We're going to make a weekend out of it. It's going to be fun. It's going to be like, it's going to be just a guys' weekend and plenty of women down there as far as like all the women wrestlers and the fans and stuff like that. So it's a big mixed bunch and we're all going to have a great time. And I'm really excited for that. So WrestlePro is ready to rock and roll. WrestlePROonline.com for all the tickets and information. Segueing into a new gig that I got, I talked to an individual at the Battle Club show, and I was actually reoffered one position not re-offered, just kind of reminded, hey, listen, this is what we got going on for tier one. And then I was also told that Five Borough Wrestling was coming back and they needed somebody to join Peter Rosado at the commentary table, and they were going to offer it to me. So I'm not so much on like a tryout basis, but like they want to try to solidify something over there. So that's my goal, I think, is to try to be as many places as I can be recognized as the guy that's calling the action. It has to be the way that these guys started. I mean, that's just my idea. I could be completely wrong. I don't know. I'm thinking that's the way that most of these broadcasters started, by just plugging themselves everywhere independently and then freelancing and all this other shit. And then again, I've tried to start writing for WrestlePro and try to get that out there, get their site more traffic. There's a lot of stuff to do, man. Marketing is one of those things where you got to market yourself at all times and look out for yourself. I mean, it's not selfish. It's just playing by the rules and just trying your best to get over with the crowds and get over with the people that you work for and just do good business. Speaking of good business, gone completely fucking utterly wrong. Okay, here's the deal. Here's my piece on what happened over the weekend with SWF, okay? And keep in mind, me and Rob have spoke at length since then, and we're good. Me and him are good. Rob Fury is the promoter there. Me and him have gotten along for 4.5, 5 years. He's booked me on those shows. He's even asked me, you know, months ago to come in and clothesline Santa Claus just to be on the show and be a part of it and do something. And I've always agreed. I've always agreed to just do these cool things and just be good business partners with a guy like Rob. Now, what happened Saturday? Saturday, somebody posted something, Kevin Matthews. He posted something about painting shit and it'll just still be shit. Now, I think a lot of people misinterpreted what he meant. But then again, you would have to ask him. Since then, everything's kind of been settled down. But at the same time, I chimed in. I did. I gave him another analogy. I said, it's like trying to paint over rust. Like if you see a metal pole that's rusted and you want to paint it white, guess what? Within months, you're going to see that rust again. And I was referring to an individual who is now their money guy, okay? And when I say I don't like certain people, it's most likely going to be directed at him because of what he did, because of how he acts. And now this is where it gets personal. He's taking personal jabs at myself. He's taking personal jabs at Kevin and his profession. Like, I told Kevin, I said, dude, if this guy ever came to me and mocked my profession or mocked anything personal in my life, anything, you could have said my cat wasn't a stud like I know he is. You could have said that. And I'll clock him. This is where internet warriors, which would go back, I guess, to what, episode 2, where I talked about internet warriors, talk a big game, man. They talk a big game. But when you're face to face with somebody, chances are you're not going to talk that game anymore. You're just not. And it's upsetting because guys like this don't belong in wrestling. You're not supposed to start this trouble. You're not. And when I said to Rob, I said, listen, nobody's mad. I'm personally not mad that you upgraded your physical product, because goddamn, we all knew that SWF's rings needed upgrading. It just, every time I took a bump, I thought I was literally dying. Ever. And so the fact that he bought a high spots ring, great. He says, he told me that with the deluxe package, that you get turnbuckles and ring skirts. Is that true? I have no idea. I don't buy fucking wrestling rings. I don't have one in my apartment. I did post a picture of my future bed. That is true. I'm going to have a wrestling ring for a bed. Promise. One day. That's why I need a son. You know what? No, I need any kid. I know plenty of girl wrestler fans that are just more like hardcore, if not more hardcore than I am. So anyway, it's just, we know what the agenda is from the money guy. Not Rob. Rob's a good dude. He likes to stay out of the drama. But unfortunately, your money guy's got a big fucking mouth. And eventually, and there will be a time where this guy decides he wants to go promote somewhere else, and he's not surrounded by the, quote, SWF locker room, which consists of like 4 fucking dudes, and the rest are usually just guys that are brought in to work there because it's a place to work. Or I'm sorry, not 4 dudes, 5 guys. 5 guys, right? Vinny Cenzo, Right, listen, me and Vinny are cool too, man. See, there's too many people that think that I have this beef with everybody over there, and that's not even close to being true. There's a bunch of guys over there I miss and I talk to daily. So one guy, like TJ Marconi, opened his trap for no reason whatsoever. Irrelevant to me. Irrelevant. I hope you really enjoy the big event. Okay? Go do that. You're the man. I listened to you on the Wizards. You're knowledgeable. There's no reason to pick fights. But yeah, but other than SWF, like I said, if that stuff could be dropped, I would drop it in a heartbeat. But Kevin's the kind of guy that you just don't want to cross, man. I've seen what he can do. I've seen what he's done. He's walked right through the front door of an NWS show during its running time. Like, they're running in their show. He walks in, gets up on the ring, doesn't need the mic because, you know, Kevin's got a big mouth. And he calls out Dapper and told everybody how it was. And there not one guy came from the back of the locker room to defend Dapper. Do I think guys would defend Fury? Yes. Do I think guys would defend the other guy? Not a fucking shot. So that's why I think you need to just kind of, you know, enough. And my God, if it just doesn't get any more distasteful, Eric Sims, first of all, why on earth grown men in the professional wrestling business need an agent? I don't know. If you're very in high demand, yes, you do need somebody to take care of your business. Pat Buck is Ryback's agent. If Eric Sims wants to represent guys that are in high demand, then do it. Do it. Guys like Bull James, yes, high demand. Vader, that's where I draw the line. Why? If Vader only saw what Eric Sims posted, I would wonder what Vader would think. Eric Sims posted a picture of a line that was going around a building. Okay. In line to go see and meet Vader. And his caption was, I guess that, you know, the knowledge of knowing somebody's going to die is good business. Is good for business. Meaning he's got this line out the door because Vader claims that he only has 2 years to live. Eric Sims, you're a fucking disgrace. And I've seen you get slapped in the face before. Right in front of me. I was right there. You do shit like that, that's what happens after. It's just distasteful. And you have to know this. You have to know this. There's no way you can look yourself in the mirror and say, you know what? What I just said is right. And what I just said is going to make me money. I get it. Everybody's in this business to make money at one time or another. And if you're not and you're just like, I just do it for the love of wrestling. Like, you're lying to yourself. You are lying to yourself. I am no longer doing it for the love of wrestling. I would like to make some money. I love wrestling, but I love money too. We get it. You want to make money. Just don't be distasteful, man. There's no reason for that. Zero. What an episode. Like, I tell you what, man. I knew what I was going to get myself into. And I've talked to a couple people and I'm just like, should I talk about this? Should I talk about that? But listen, this is the kind of stuff that I talk about. The day in the life of me, pro wrestling that surrounds me, sports that surround me, you know, this is what it's about. This is what I'm talking to you about every week, every Wednesday on iTunes and exclusively on the Shining Wizards Network. There's a plug. But anyway, going into, good wrestling, meaning the WWE, the Royal Rumble's this week. I'm excited about it. If anybody watched Raw, I can't tell you what's going to happen on SmackDown because it hasn't happened yet as I'm recording this. But Raw ending, whew, boy, chills, man. That's some cool stuff. And if any of you, like, this is why we hate wrestling fans. If you're on the other side of the rail and you're like, that's stupid. That's dumb. It's just three old guys. No. It's The Undertaker, it's Goldberg, and it's Brock Lesnar, and that's fucking badass. That's where I see it. Who do I think is going to win the Rumble? If I had to make a quick prediction. There's so many things that are happening now. It's like they're setting up a lot of stuff. Clearly, the one thing that's already kind of set in stone is Rollins and Triple H. So Rollins is out of the Rumble. Rollins and Triple H will get at each other's throats at WrestleMania. Are we getting Cena Taker? I don't know. Would I like to see it? Sure. My friend Brett brought up a good point. He said, what if they have Cena win this week? Tie the record, right? Tie the record. The 16-time record held by Ric Flair. He loses it at Elimination Chamber to whoever. Maybe Taker. Maybe Taker's in the chamber. Or maybe Taker wins the Rumble. Taker goes to WrestleMania, and Cena goes to Elimination Chamber and loses. Yeah, so I guess Taker would have to win the belt. Yeah, so maybe Taker wins the belt in the Chamber match, and then Cena somehow cons himself into Cena versus Taker for the title, where it's either Taker, you know, continues his legacy, or Cena can break the record at WrestleMania. Boy, would that fucking suck. Listen, I'm sure Cena is one of the hardest working guys in the world, you know, as far as all of his just well-rounded career. But we're all, you know, we're all kind of just wanted the next guy up. Who's the next guy? Rumors that were that The Miz might win. I think that would be great, to be honest, man. You got all this star power, and Miz gets the rub? Whew, boy, would the internet explode. Cue that cranky Miz girl. She'd be happy. Like, there's a lot that can happen. They teased Braun Strowman and Big Show last night. That's pretty cool. Big Show looks freaking phenomenal. And he gives fat dudes like me a shot to say, maybe I can have an ab or two develop over time if I try hard. Yeah, there's a lot of cool things that could go. Are we going to get a Goldberg Brock 3? Who knows? I mean, it all really depends on what happens inside the Rumble match itself. Surprises in the Rumble? I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I don't read enough dirt sheets to find out who the surprises could be. They just announced Angle in the Hall of Fame. Can Angle make an appearance in the Rumble? I think that would be phenomenal. I think that place would go nuts. I think that the roof would blow off the Alamo Dome if all of a sudden you hear like, and there are people just blow, oh my God, and just lose their shit and their beer flies all over the place. And then you're down another $9 because you got to go get another beer. So there's just a lot of cool shit that can happen at the Royal Rumble. And I'm excited for it. We're going to have a good time. I usually do a pool. That's when I used to go to Big Shots over in Woodbridge a lot more. And Woodbridge, New Jersey, Big Shots. It's a good place. It's cool. Great customer service and all that good shit. But, yeah, I don't do that anymore, so I'm just going to go and enjoy it. But you know what I'm going to do? I've been talking for a long time. And I think I'm going to hold the football predictions and the football stuff for next week, because it's closer to the Super Bowl. What good is it to make a Super Bowl prediction now and not have the game go off for another week and a half? So next week will be Super Bowl week. There will be more stories revolved around the Super Bowl. Media week. I'm sure Belichick will just light up everybody with all his real charisma. I will say this. Very happy that Aaron Rodgers got beat. Now that heartbreaking loss means nothing. So, because it really doesn't. If anything, you got the worst draft pick now. You know, you got a worser or later draft pick than the Cowboys do. And what's that do for you? Nothing. I hate Brady. It's not, you know what it is? It's not like I hate Brady. It's like, I think it's more Belichick. Because he's just a piece of shit. You know, he's just like, hey, Bill, what do you feel about this, this, that, and the other? I'm like, well, I don't know. We're just going to the Super Bowl. Like, it's not entertainment. Football is supposed to be entertaining. I'm sorry. Get a spokesperson. Let Josh McDaniels start talking or something. I don't know. Do something different. But we got ourselves a Patriots and Falcons Super Bowl. I will preview that more next week. I think that's appropriate. And I think I've been going kind of long only because I inserted Mr. Lavelli's great critique on Sonny Kiss. I mean, I hope you guys enjoy this episode. As I said, I know it was more on the, not so much the Debbie Downer side, but like just trying to like, I'm just trying to get a point across. And listen, I understand that people lose their jobs all the time. I know for a fact that this dude is not a full-time broadcaster. It's what he likes to do on the side. And if we can take that away from him for being evil, then I think my mission will be accomplished. And I think it's only right, and it's the right thing to do. So if you're a promoter and you work for this guy, or this guy works for you rather, you don't need that. And the beauty part, ready for this? He comes with a replacement. I will go out to Pennsylvania and call a couple shows if it's worth it. So with that being said, Once again, thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you guys for downloading, subscribing, all the stuff I ask of you. You guys are friggin' aces with all that stuff. I thank you guys so much for all that. Keep leaving reviews and keep downloading and just make this stuff grow. I know I promote my social media a lot. I would love for you guys to follow me and follow me through this whole journey, man. Like this journey is actually pretty cool. It's fun. It's a lot of fun, and I'm having a lot of fun doing it. So if you can follow me, facebook.com/DaveDestruction. That's my personal Facebook page. Dave Destruction on Instagram, which is DaveDestruction without the hyphen or without the E. At Dave Sturch, Sturch on Twitter. Dave Destruction 2. And yes, there was a Dave Destruction and there was a Dave Destruction 1. They are two old accounts. Matt McIntosh, thank you for pointing out that I am Dave Destruction 2 on on Snapchat. WrestlePro Online for all your WrestlePro stuff. Make sure you get your tickets. They are flying. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com for all my podcasts. Facebook.com/Destruction101. I know it's a lot, but guys, you guys have been freaking awesome with all this stuff. Thank you so much. And I will see you guys next week, hopefully on more of a lighter note. And we're going to be coming off the Royal Rumble. We'll be coming off the Pro Bowl with Dak, Zeke, and Dez, or all three of them are in it. So that'll be fun to watch, at least for me. But yeah, everything else checks out. Like I said, share this episode. Let's hope it falls on the right ears to get removal of some of the trash that is in pro wrestling. So again, thank you guys, and I will see you guys next week.